This is Talk 650.
This is Talk 650.
Powered by CBS Radio.
The following program is sponsored by Learn to Succeed, LLC. It's not right-wing radio. It's not left-wing radio. It's think-wing radio. Welcome to the Mike Honig Show. And now, Mike Honig.
Good afternoon and good lunch. Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 powered by CBS. The call-in number is 713-9650-650. You can also write to thinkwingradio at msn.com. That's thinkwingradio, one word, at msn.com. And I'll try to respond to questions while we're on the air. You can also use that email to send me comments, opinion, questions, or even ideas for guests or topics. I've gotten a couple of comments in email, and I appreciate them. My guest today is Terry Burke, Executive Director of the Texas ACLU. We'll be talking about some of the cases that the ACLU of Texas has worked on and also about their annual conference in Austin this coming Saturday. But first, a comment. The Shirley Sherrod episode has made me reflect again on prejudice. Long ago, I learned that prejudice is not the same as racism. Racism is clearly a negative feeling, hate, resentment, distrust against a particular group because they come from a different racial background. In common usage, its meaning has grown to include people of other ethnic and religious groups who are not necessarily of different races. Prejudice is much broader than that. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines prejudice in part as, quote, a preconceived judgment or opinion or an irrational attitude of hostility, unquote. So prejudices can be assumptions made about people because of the way they dress, the neighborhoods they live in, or how they talk. The story which Shirley Sherrod told about her experience 24 years ago with a white farmer was, I think, more about prejudice. She compared the white farmer's financial crisis with that of black farmers she had known and the relative treatment they had received. And admirably, she examined those initial feelings of prejudice and used the experience as an opportunity for personal growth, an understanding that poor was poor. It wasn't black or white. I believe we all have those moments, and we all have opportunities to learn from them. I would like to relate one of mine. I was brought up in a home where racism was something we learned was bad, but that doesn't mean I was without prejudgments, without prejudices. I was about 25 years old. I lived in a part of southeast Brooklyn called Canarsie. At the time, I had an office job in Long Island City in northwest Queens. Because it was an office job, I wore slacks, shirt and tie, and leather-soled dress shoes to work. You'll understand shortly why this matters. Every day, in order to get to work, I had to take a bus and two trains. If you've ever taken mass transit, you know that it's a learning experience. Everything is on a schedule, and you learn how fast you have to walk or run to make the next connection. So it was in the New York subway system. To make it from that first train to the next one, I learned that I had to ride in the first car, run out, take the end staircase, go two steps at a time, then run at full tilt down the passenger tunnel to the first car of my next train. If all went right, I could leap into that subway car and catch that train with just seconds to spare. Otherwise, I'd wait at least 10 more minutes for the next train. On this particular day, I was running like usual. I was running against the right-hand wall while the crowd coming off the train was going the other way on my left. I was within sight of the platform and the train. Suddenly, a young girl veered out of the crowd and was in front of me. I tried to stop, but my leather-soled shoes slid out from under me, and I went down hard, feet first. I actually sort of remember the little girl flying over me as I scooped her up like a cowcatcher. I landed flat on my back with my right foot caught under my left leg. The little girl got up and kept running without looking back. I had twisted my right ankle badly when I'd landed on it and was in excruciating pain. I was literally gasping for breath. It hurt so badly. I remember laying there, a reasonably well-dressed white guy, gasping in obvious pain, while the largely white crowd just kept walking. None of them stopped to help me, not even the people that saw it happen. The thought I had afterward was that those people paid me no more attention than they would a discarded gum wrapper on the ground. Finally, the crowd was gone, the train platform was empty, and I was left lying there alone, unable to get up. After what seemed a few minutes, but was probably seconds, a couple of young black men walked over from ahead of me and just looked down at me. These guys were dressed in a sort of modified 70s Superfly style. I remember the thought clearly going through my mind that after maybe breaking my ankle, now I was going to get mugged. After we looked at each other for several seconds, I reached up my hand for help. Without hesitation, both of these young black men grabbed me under my arms and helped me to my feet. They helped me walk to a rail where I could support myself and asked if there was anything else they could do for me. Probably I should have asked them to find a transit cop to get me further assistance, but I was young and stupid, so I just told them I was okay and thanked them for their assistance. Now, here's the moral of this story. The people that I assumed would help me because of the way they looked didn't. The people that scared me because of the way they looked, they were the only ones to render me any aid at all. And this was perhaps my first important lesson in prejudice. Don't judge people by how they look. Don't assume they'll act toward you a certain way just because of how they're dressed. Today, I might call this my Shirley Sherrod moment. What's your moment? Email it to me and I might read it on the air, or perhaps call in and tell me about it. That's how I feel. You can call and tell me how you feel by dialing 713-9650-650 or write to me now at thinkwingradio@msn.com. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig. I have sort of an exciting piece of news. You can now win a free dinner for two, up to a $25 value from the Casa Olé at the Northwest Freeway and 34th Street, that location only. Mexican food with an attitude. This Casa Olé is one I've enjoyed for years. It's got great food, great service, and great prizes. And you can win simply by calling this show. If you are the first caller to call in today, I will give away one of these free dinners. And now my guest is Terry Burke. Terry Burke is an executive director of the ACLU of Texas. How are you doing today, Terry?
I'm great, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So I hear you're having a big conference this weekend, this Saturday. Do you want to tell us about it?
Well, I sure would. Yes, we are. I think that's all we're doing here in our office this week is preparing for it. It's our annual membership meeting. And following the membership meeting, we have an all-day luncheon and then all-day conference on sensible school discipline. The highlight is Ed Burns, who's the co-creator of The Wire that ran on HBO, is our keynote speaker at lunchtime. He is passionate about education issues. He's worked in the schools both, I think, as a career and as a volunteer and has a lot to say about what is going on in our schools. And then we have a couple of other sessions in the afternoon about sensible school discipline. One of our speakers, one of our panelists, will be Adam Wolf, who is an ACLU lawyer, and he's the fellow who won the case at the Supreme Court for the young girl from Arizona who was strip searched because she was suspected of possessing Tylenol.
You know, my stepdaughter, when she was going to middle school and high school, there were times when she either wasn't feeling well or she had maybe a little bit of a sniffle. And I would say, well, why don't you take some DayQuil to school? Why don't you take an ibuprofen to school? She says, oh, no, I can't do that. They have zero tolerance. It's like, for DayQuil? Zero tolerance for DayQuil. Tell me a little about that. How did we come from to that point? Because the nurses can't give anything out. So what are the kids supposed to do?
Well, you know, I don't know where it came from, Mike. I think it's like so many things in our society. It's it probably was a knee-jerk reaction to something, and then it took on a life of its own. And you know, our concern with it is that these zero tolerance policies have led to what is euphemistically called the school-to-prison pipeline, that we put kids in a position where and we put our teachers, by the way, in a position where the teachers are police officers and the kids are criminals instead of the teachers are teachers and the kids are students.
You know, they talk about teachers not being trained for certain things. I think security is really one of those things. That's just not one of the things they teach you to get an education license.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that if I were a teacher, I would be pretty frustrated that I'm being called upon to do more and more things that have little or nothing to do with education. And again, I think we all understand that the world's changed a bit since some of us were in school.
And, that's the truth.
And the problems and the challenges are great. I don't live in such a rose-colored world that I don't know that there are kiddos who come to school with drugs or with, you know, God forbid, weapons and things like that. The schools have got to deal with some issues that I never thought of in my life as a student. But it's got to be. I mean, that's why I think our theme of this meeting on Saturday here in Austin is sensible school discipline.
Okay, we are going to have to.
Back.
I'm sorry. We are going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. And you can call 713-950-650 and win a meal for two. We'll be right back.